numbers for revenues lost because the assessment at Barney's value at $211,800. Page 53, National Forest receipts. This is straight federal money, 2888.5. Any objections to that figure? Unchanged. Page 55, this is grants to construct basic community facilities in rural communities. We took the governor's recommendation of 3100.0. Any objections? Page 57, this is for communities who want to incorporate at 30,000.1 based on the governor's figure and continuation all the way. They have the data on how many communities are out there needing this, and this was a pretty straightforward BRU. Page 59, this is for communities who don't have enough money for attorney fees for their incorporation or are looking at organizing at 49.9. We accepted the department's and the governor's recommendations all the way on this. Page 61, bulk fuel grant. The department and the governor recommended 300,000, and we just felt going into this with the number of communities, about half the communities out there have built their bulk fuel storage tanks, and they had applications in the department for over 20. And at 100,000 a crack, we just didn't feel that 300,000 was enough. So we doubled it to 600,000. Any objections? All right. On page 67, Training Development and Rural Development Association, what we did is delete the added people for expansion to a Dillingham office in line 100. We deducted travel at 83 less 10% in line 200. In line 300 and 400, we cut inflation. And 500, we cut the equipment at 50% of replacement. We allowed no new positions for this BRU, and the final figure is 1335.4. Any objections? Page 69, State Assessor, line 100 is unchanged. Line 200 was FY83 less 10% for travel. Lines 3 and 400, we eliminated the inflation factor, making the final number 331.3. Any objections? Page 71, Local Boundary Commission, line 100 is unchanged. Line 200 is FY83 less 10%. Line 3 and 400, we eliminated the inflation factor, making the final figure 114.3. Any objections? Grants Administration, line 100 is unchanged. Line 200 is unchanged. We just didn't think that was enough travel to mess with there. Line 300 was cut inflation, eliminate that. And line 4 and 500 was unchanged, making the final number 514.3. This is not a new component and it's not new funds. This is a transfer program around hoping to make their grant administration a little bit more effective.
We have a legislative request add on here, so could we leave this open, please?
Okay, certainly. Page 77, Coastal Energy Impact Program, line 100. Everything is unchanged. These are all federal monies. And the final figure here is 1127.4. Any objections?
Madam Chairman?
Yes, sir.
I don't have objections to this page. I would like to recommend possibly a new BRU for energy audits after page 77.
What I'd like to do is that when we close out, when we make that decision in Commerce and Economic Development, if it does occur, then we would just automatically go back and put it into a specific BRU list. I have a question on CZM and Coast Energy Impact. I guess my question is, one, are they two different programs? And why, if they aren't, why don't they include them into one BRU? That would be page 111 and page 77.
Right. This one is straight federal money with federal mandates.
Right.
And the other one, the funds go to local government for community planning and overseas development and management of the coastal zone. So they really are different. This one, on page 77, the federal monies to assist in oil explorations primarily in state coastlines. And it's a pass-through money, again, to municipalities and planning. Actually, I don't know why they couldn't be. You get right down to it. I don't know why they can't be connected. I think possibly we could look into that.
You might look at it. The other question that was brought to my attention is that in page 111, that's 100% state funding.
Correct.
It shows it at that. Are there any required general fund match to the federal funds? Do you know?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Senator Bennett?
As you said, there's no federal monies at all in that. That particular item, the legislature in past years has considered doing away with. However, times back, there's upwards of $20 million of federal monies attached to it. We have now gotten to the point where the feds have obviously lost funding interest in it, and I think it becomes germane as to whether the state wants to carry it. It's one of those carrots that the federal government got us on, and we still want the carrots. I think that's probably germane to this particular BRU.
Yeah, Senator Bennett, the one on page 111, Senator Ferguson and I worked up a plan to begin that process of eliminating this, and we'll explain it when we get there.
Okay, in addition to that, isn't there legislation before Congress right now that would appropriate between $35 and $50 million to the state of Alaska on CZM? Are you familiar with that from your subcommittee work?
Mr. Chairman, I believe I've heard the resource chairman talk about
that. Yeah, there is. Evidently, there's a strong likelihood that it could pass. We can look at that specific question in an RP or something, but it's something at least for next year you should be aware of that. From indications from Senator Stevens, there's a very strong likelihood that legislation will pass, and if so, we should gear up as to specifically how that those funds could be used, if they can be used at all.
I'll check on that. Okay. And give a report to the committee tomorrow.
Okay.
Okay, so we're closing out page 77 at 1127.4.
Okay.
All right. Page 81, Community Planning Assistance. Okay, we shifted around on this one. This is just a little complicated here. The department wanted to add a number of people to this BRU, and we would not allow that. And we also deleted two positions from the 1982 level, and to bring the general fund monies to a total of $1.2 million to fund this whole thing, not counting, the federal receipts and a variety of other things. So the division is willing to give up these people. What we want is we wanted more grants to go through to the CZM program on page 111 to finish those up, the communities. So in personal services, it's 954.3. Travel, we cut line 300. We've eliminated the inflation and the extra personnel and that kind of thing that would go into there. Commodities is the same thing. Equipment is 2.1. Now, line 700, we deleted these, and the grants will be given to the CZM program, making a total expenditure of 1664.0. And what this particular BRU does is provide communities with assistance in planning for organization. And I don't know, Senator Ferguson, do you have more to say on this particular one?
No.
Okay. Any questions on the final figure of 1664?
I have a question.
Senator Fisher, go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, who under this will not receive planning grants? Who would have received those otherwise?
Yeah, these were pass-through grants to begin with. They came through CZM to this BRU, and then they were dispersed out there. And I have a letter from the department here that states the decrease in staff levels from 18 to 16 positions, it would decrease the technical assistance from 55 to 75 communities to 40 to 62 communities.
Are your CZM funds coming into here through that line item, other funds?
Right.
Okay, that ties back to the CZM BRU?
On page 111.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, go ahead. Mr. Chairman, what is the long-range thinking? I gather that you want to wipe out the coastal management program altogether. The community planning assistance program has been around for a decade, or maybe two decades. And with grants and contracts being the principal means of carrying out the program, does this mean that we'll also phase out the community planning assistance program for small rural communities?
It is not my intention to do that. Senator Ferguson?
It isn't my intention either.
On that, what was attempted was to, because the Sherman dollars, take the state bodies and transfer those into grants for the community, so you'll see under the CZM grants, to help increase two of the local CRSAs in this county.
Yeah, our idea was to shrink the bureaucracy and get the money out to the local areas where they're doing the work.
Well, would you, excuse me, Mr. Chairman, would your thought be that next year it would come back from CZM to the Community Planning Assistance Program, the contract, the grants monies?
We would want to evaluate and see how many are finished or what the status of the CZM plans still are. And we're certainly not wiping this out. They'll still have 21 people.
I'm talking about the grants.
Yeah, no, the grants.
In the years to come.
No, we wouldn't.
Yeah, they're CZM grants.
Okay.
If CZM is going to get $25 or $30 million from the federal government, we certainly aren't planning to turn that away.
That's for something else.
Okay, we do have a request for this page two. We need to open page.
Page 81, go
for our regional planning.
Okay, page 83. Oh, ANSCA planning of surveys to settle out the claims, Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act. 399.3, line 100 is unchanged. Line 200 was FY83 less 10% for travel. Lines 3 and 400 were eliminating inflation, leaving 399.3 for ANSCA plan of survey. Any objections? Page 91, municipal lands trustees. Line 100 is unchanged. Line 200 is cut inflation to cut travel to the 83 less 10% level. And lines 300 and 400 are eliminating inflation, leaving a final figure of 285.5. Any objections? Office of the Commissioner. Commissioner requested funding for a special assistant. His deputy commissioner is underfunded at this time, and we felt that maybe a deputy commissioner would be more apropos than a special assistant. So we eliminated the special assistant position, but added $15,000 to decrease their underfunding level in personal services. So line 100 would be 216.5. Line 200 is cutting travel to 83 less 10% authorized. Line 300 and 400 is eliminating inflation. There were no new positions authorized in this BRU for a final figure of 575.8. Any objections? Page 97, admin services. They requested three new positions in this BRU, primarily for auditors. We authorized one new position to audit legislative grants. We didn't feel with the decreasing oil revenues that grants would be at the caliber they have been in recent years. So what we did in lines 1 through 5 were to adjust those figures to allow one new position at 872 for line 100, travel at 21.9, contractual at 56.7, commodities at 9.7, and equipment at 6.3, a total expenditure of 966.6. Any objections to this?
Which page are you on?
Page 97.
Okay.
So we would be adding one new person to this BRU from 24 to 25. Hearing no objections, 966.6. Page 105, community block grants. This is all federal funds, the figure being 2115.0. And this is all grants. It goes straight out to the communities. No objections. Page 111, okay, this is the commercial zone. We authorized one new position to audit legislative grants. We didn't feel with the decreasing oil revenues that grants would be at the caliber they have been in recent years. So what we did in lines 1 through 5 were to adjust those figures to allow one new position at 872 for line 100, travel at 21.9, contractual at 56.7, commodities at 9.7, and equipment at 6.3. A total expenditure of 966.6. Any objections to this?
Which page are you on?
Page 97.
Okay.
So we would be adding one new person to this BRU from 24 to 25. Hearing no objections, 966.6. Page 105, community block grants. This is all federal funds, the figure being 2115.0. And this is all grants. It goes straight out to the communities. No objections? Page 111. Okay, and this is the coastal zone management, in which we eliminated the personnel, but put all the money, put all that other money in those other BRUs right to grants that would go to the local governments for community planning and oversee the development and management of those coastal zones. So you can see how far the grants were increased here, which is a direct transfer over. So the figure would be 1851.3. Any objections? Page 115, housing assistance. Okay.
Oh, excuse me, Mr. Chairman. I was looking at something else. I was looking at the next sheet already. On coastal management, I do have an objection. I want to know what the effect is of eliminating the Coastal Policy Council. It seems to me that that means that the coastal management plans will not be approved, and that, in effect, the kind of coastal management programs that we had, the plans and the consistency requirements, all go out the window, and that, in effect, the communities will have no handles whatsoever on dealing with oil development impacts along the coast.
Could we have Mike come in on this?
No, there's no plans to eliminate council.
Mike, where's the council funded?
I think you'll find it. It's in admin, isn't it?
No, not the policy council. When you said it was CCM,
was
to utilize the staff that is left over in community planning assistance to natural resource planners to act as the staff for the department. They still have several, what they call natural resource planners left there, and they would act as the support staff for them.
Okay.
The policy council itself, being appointed by the government, really doesn't have, it's not like, say, the arts council or something like that.
Okay. That's essentially my question. The council remains, and its functions are fully continued. I have no objection.
Where would they be funded, though?
They used to be in the governor's office, and that budget, I know, has all gone under, OCM has gone under OMB, and so I'm not sure exactly how that is coordinated.
Mr. Chairman, maybe we should leave this open and we'll double check on the policy council to make sure.
Okay.
But it's
there's
not
a request,
in this.
I think there's another request from OMB, isn't it, to move this all back to your office? Gene, could you just talk right there?
Yes. The office management budget's intent is to move the Office of Coastal Management from its present designation to the governor's office.
Okay. So do you have a letter on that, a budget amendment?
That's one thing I didn't mean to address, yes.
Okay. Do it in just a real quick memo form.
Okay.
Which BRUs and CNRA you want transferred back, the dollar amount, and the reasons why? Okay. Okay. In the meantime, you want to leave this open?
Maybe we get her, Mr. Chairman, just to be absolutely certain that we're not missing anything up there.
Okay.
I don't think we are, but let's just be safe. Page 115, this is the housing assistance program. And what we did is they were requesting a southeastern office, which we denied as no new personnel added. And they're still doing all their accounting manually. And we find this very inefficient and just not the way to go. So what we've done is we've added money to the contractual line, and we have a letter of intent requesting this particular division to automate their accounting and to go out to bid for this so that their accounting can be done out of house by a savings and loan or whoever to get it more efficient there. Line 100 would be 681.4, which is the same as 83 authorized. Travel would be 83 less 10%. Line 300 is cut to 83 authorized plus the $30,000 to provide the data processing services on a loan portfolio. Line 400 was eliminate inflation. Line 500 is the 50% equipment cut, giving a total figure of 1024.2.
Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead, Joe.
I don't have a letter with me, but I understand. Is this the program Barbara Morris Quinn is responsible for?
Yes.
Now, is there any other cut in that in line 100 other than the southeastern office?
No.
Pardon?
No, we had talked about eliminating all of her accountants because it's a very inefficient operation right now. Very inefficient. And this is the same as 83 authorized. So it'll be the same number of folks that were there in 1983.
What I'm informed is that the request of $899,400 for Housing Assistance Division was to fund the FY83 continuation staff, three additional staff authorized during FY83 from the Governor's Contingency Fund, and two new staff to open a new Southeast Alaska field office. The reduction proposed at $681,400 would not only prevent the division service expansion to Southeast Alaska, but would require dismissal of 3 to 4 central staff employees. At the beginning of FY83, the rural owner-occupied and rural non-owner-occupied programs transferred into this division with no fiscal note or new positions under Chapters 113 and 114 SLA 1982. Absorption of these two programs produced an unpredictable increase in business for the division. The loan portfolio, according to the director of this program, has expanded nearly 300% since that transition, and the three staff authorized by the FY83 Governor's Contingency Fund are critical to maintaining reasonable loan processing, construction, and financing services. Should the division be forced to accept the subcommittee personal services recommended budget, the loan program would be unnecessarily delayed in processing and delivery of funds. The division's position was that it is not extravagant that overhead for FY83 loan funds has been less than 2.5%. Two grant programs are operated at minimal cost. Rental space for the division central office was obtained at well below market rate. Cost savings are a constant goal of traveling division staff. The projected decline in state revenues clearly may not allow for additional service expansion to Southeast Alaska. But these are the issues that that are presented. The Home Loan Consumer Program is a young program of popularity, and it's indicated that more is involved here than the expansion.
Where do you get all this material? I don't have it.
This was just communicated to me from Barbara Morris Quinn. I can make copies.
Barbara Morris Quinn, yeah, could you make a copy of all that? Because she hasn't communicated with any of us.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, we made an on-site visit in Anchorage to this division, and I'm wondering if Alan could fill Senator Josephson and the rest of the committee in on exactly what's going on up there.
Proceed.
Basically, the legislative body took a look at housing assistance, and they said that there have two problems. They really don't have accountability for what they're doing in the portfolio, and they're basically doing it currently on a manual basis, which is very inefficient. The report suggested that they get accountability, and this is their means of doing it, which is to hire people in-house to manage the portfolio. We feel like it could be done much more efficiently if they place everything with a data processing service to manage their loan portfolio, since there's only 570 loans currently on the books. And we can leave their positions at the same as 1983, which includes two accountants, which we have eliminated, and not add any new positions. We can do this for about $30,000 in data processing costs.
Mr. Chairman, where are those additional data processing funds that are shown here?
On the contractual
line.
From 84 continuation, 141.3 to 171.3.
What did they have? Where was the governor's amendment 232? Did that also include the same or not?
No.
No, it's currently done on a manual basis. They want to.
No, what was the 232 for? Since that's being cut.
Oh, I believe that includes the Southeast expansion.
I see.
They have 19 direct loans. 19.
And 500, what were the others?
Well, the rest were done through solar services that are through private sectors.
And I just think to increase the staff to 22 for that number of loans is just not efficient.
Was this
and we had so many questions about this. This is why we went up there, just to check the whole thing out.
Now, are they aware that you're proposing to add to
the for the last couple of weeks.
That's why she wrote you the letter.
No, excuse me, Mr. Chairman. Are they aware that you're proposing the data processing add-on?
Yes, oh yes, and the commissioner has agreed to this, and he has accepted the fact that they need to go outside to have their accounting done. The legislature is trying to get them to automate, I was told, for at least a year or so, and they've sort of resisted automating for whatever reason.
Okay, is there an objection? Next page.
119, senior citizen housing. Line 100 is unchanged. Line 200 is FY83 less 10% for travel. Line 3 and 400, we eliminated the inflation, leaving a total of 100.9. Any objections?
Okay.
And here is the letter of intent to go with that housing, to show you that we don't want to destroy this BRU. We just want it to be a little bit more efficient.
Is there any objection to the intent? Without objection. Prior to closing, Mr. Dusek?
Yep. Go ahead. We had some other items the other day that had come up on daycare assistance and some of those items, which we passed.
Go back to closing.
Well, whatever the pleasure to hear.
We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 BRUs that are open. 4 of them had specific add-ons, and I'd like the board just keep them open for the time being. Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead, Senator.
On the open ones, does this include the addition of the energy program?
No, that's automatic open.
Thank you.
Anytime, for example, that you know within your departments, if you have transfers from one department to another, or you have interagency changes, if you change it, say, in another department that's 4 or 5 days from now, and you make that changes, then we'll just automatically go back and make the changes within the past ones that are already closed to balance it out. Go ahead, Gene.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We have several items today for discussion. The first is on page 37 of your printout. Travel was reduced in this BRU. However, only general funds were reduced. There is a problem here. Well, first of all, the general funds are not a match for the grant. They are to administer a separate state training program. The travel funds that were reduced are part of the federal program, not the state program. And therefore, the administration requests that the cut, if it is to be made for the travel, would be made in federal funds, not general funds.
You mean in general funds, not federal funds?
Pardon me, Senator?
You wouldn't want the cut in federal funds. You want it in general funds.
No. General funds have been cut.
Right.
But a travel that is being performed is not for the state-funded project. The travel in this BRU is for the federal project, federal portion. I believe all of it, is that correct? All of it? Yes.
Yeah, but it's not specifically for travel, is it? It doesn't say that in the federal guidelines, does it? You get so much money to administer.
No, however, you've cut a certain amount of travel in this BRU.
Right.
The travel that is being performed is reimbursed by the federal government. So if the travel is not performed, it will not save general funds, it will save federal funds.
Okay, how could we increase the Steel Cape general funds to 37.4? Do we get any more than $2,288.5 in federal?
If you wish to reduce the general funds to 37.4, some other aspects of the state training program would have to be reduced, other than travel.
Okay, can you give us a recommendation?
The administration's recommendation would be, if you are to take it, well, as far as today, I could not give you that information.
Okay.
If your intent is to cut general funds. I can have that tomorrow.
Sure.
And show the consequences of such a cut.
Let's just leave this open then.
Okay.
Because try to keep us at 37.4, even if you have to increase your federal funds. Maybe you get more in.
The second item is on page 33 of the printout, the $1.5 million for the youth employment program, which is recommended for deletion by the committee.
What page was that?
33.
Page 33. The $1.5 million would be divided into two portions. One half of the funding would be utilized by DNR to employ approximately 500 kids this summer for trail maintenance, fixing up shelters, and summer programs in state parks. There is no parks rehab money in the CIB. In addition, some of the services which I have mentioned, trail maintenance and fixing up the shelters, was previously funded through the YCC program by the feds. This program has been eliminated. And without the state doing something, there is concern that the state parks could end up being in a rather deplorable condition by the end of this summer. The additional half, or the other half of the $1.5 million, would go to communities, villages, to do similar things as far as cleaning up local parks facilities. With a cutback in federal funding, the administration believes that its $1.5 million is needed.
Unless there's a motion, we'll just keep going on to the next one.
Mr. Chairman?
Go ahead, Ben.
This one does remain open, doesn't it?
Yeah. Anything else?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. On page 81, the Community Planning Assistance Program.
What page?
81.
The administration originally asked for $1.920 million. General funds. That being recommended by the committee is $1.2 million. After re-examining what the $1.2 million could buy, the department is requesting $1.485 million. Some of the things this would be able to accomplish would be in the area of technical assistance. In FY82, there were about 118 communities served. The $1.2 million would enable 40 to 62 communities to be served. If we upped it to 1.485, this could be increased to 55 to 75. As far as the pass-through planning grants, so far this year, there have been 14 community grants totaling $225,000. The $1.2 million based on the department estimates would only provide funding for 9 to 10 community grants of $196,000. With the proposed increase, or the requested increase to 1.485, this could fund 18 to 20 grants or $357,000.
Okay, could you get us a budget amendment request on that?
Will do.
Okay. This is open anyway.
The next item, Mr. Chairman. The administration still supports or continues to support a displaced homemakers program. As brought up by Senator Fisher, I think it's just getting off to a start and is a vital program. I would hope that at least between now and a free conference committee, because I believe this, there is an amount slightly reduced from the figure before you in the House version, that the Senate re-examine what is being done and considered at that time. And as I mentioned earlier, Mr. Chairman, we will have the amendment for coastal zone management moved to you tomorrow.
Okay.
That's all I have.
Very good, thank you. Let's take a 2-minute break, okay, before we get into the Department of Education. Department of Education, Senator Mulcahy, you have the floor.
Thank you. Everybody's been provided with a kind of a recap. Department of Education with FY83 authorized, FY84 governor, FY84 governor amendment, amended in the Senate proposal. Under the unallocated reductions, there's $9.2 million proposed by the administration. This would come out of taking 1.5% grants and 4% administration. This would mean a 1.5% cut, as we looked at it, in foundation funding, debt service, and then the grant programs throughout. The subcommittee proposes a 0.4% cut in foundation funding that would go across the state. No cut at all in debt service, because this hits just specific school districts. And then there would be a cut of $2.7 million in DOE's budget in just the general fund part of it. This would amount to 2.5% less than the FY83. Proposals come up with a net reduction of 11 full-time positions within the department as we go through it. And with that, I go right to the K-12 foundation support. The subcommittee's proposal is to 429,596.2. This would amount to 95.9% funding for the foundation formula. I'd move that figure. Page 19 is pupil transportation. The proposed figure is 2,006.2 or 6,2.1. There's no change in this, and I'd move that figure. Page 21, this is all federal funding for the student loan program. Move the 6,000.06 million figure. The student loan program. Page 23 is the cigarette tax distribution. This is a constitutionally dedicated fund. This is the estimate of the department. I no change. Move 2.500.2. Page 25 has been, these federal funds have been transferred to two other sub-programs, Career Vocational Ed and the Federal Programs Administration, and shows up there. Page 27, this is a reduction of $450,000. In subcommittee hearings, that this has been overfunded the last couple of years, and they anticipate less students using this program. I would move the 2954.8 figure. Page 29, boarding home grants. This shows a reduction of $98,500. The department feels that this is overfunded, that they feel that there will be a reduction from 50 to 30 students in this one. Move the 500.0 figure. State contract programs. This provides the funding for the military base schools, basically Anchorage and Fairbanks, and also some special ed programs. There's some intent language there. It was the intent of the subcommittee that those base schools should be funded under the same formula and to the same percentage as the foundation formula, and that next year that this would be rolled into the foundation formula rather than carried as a separate item. I'd move 26,674.6.
And the intent?
And the intent language. Uh,
no change on page 33, that was out, that was a proposed summer vocational ed program, we agreed with the administration. Page 35, debt retirement, no change, move the 59887.8 figure. Rural school RSDP program. In looking at this program, we found that and under the current program, there was about 60 in the state general fund funding, that there was about 60% of this that was being used as administrative overhead, both direct and indirect. What the KIT committee has proposed is some intent language to go with this that would limit that overhead cost that comes directly out of school or out of this general funding to 35%. The effect of this, even with the reduction of $30,400, would mean that last year the money spent on the students was $315,000. This would make it $390,000, a natural increase that would go out to those students of about $75,000. This program has is matched by the school districts in the amount of about $250 per student that participates in this program. I'd move the $600,000 figure. We jump to page...
And the letter of intent.
And the letter of intent, okay. Mr. Chairman.
Could we leave 43 open even at zero? There's a couple of requests to add on there.
All right, 43. Go, let's see, move to page 51. This is a new sub-program that the department feels should be set up. It's basically for monitoring the school districts as far as accountability and management. It's felt it was pretty good, a good idea that was needed out there, and it segregates it. The basic concern of the committee in this sub-program was that travel had been cut down considerably from the request. The request in setting this up was $60,000. The administration had cut this down to $15,000, and the subcommittee didn't feel that they could do the job, which is $15,000 travel in those 53 school districts. So we took from other parts of the budget, basically out of administration, and moved $10,000 up there to travel from $15,000 to $25,000. There's no change in code 100. I just explained the change in code 200. No changes in the 300 and 400 codes, and these positions were transferred from district support. I move
so these are not new ones.
These are not new positions. I move the 187.4. District support deleted the student interim program out of personnel, have transferred figures to the subcategory we just talked about, deleted inflation and travel, plus transferring $5,000 to the management, deleted inflation on the other categories. I'd move 914.8. Department of Administration, we deleted throughout the whole budget the student interim programs as a first deletion of personnel, transferred out of this code 200, $5,000 to the monitoring and sub-program, reduced code 300 by $35,000, and that's for some in-house computer. It's not the chargeback. It was at the department's suggestion, and looking at the cuts they had to come up with in this program. No change in the code 400. I'd move 839.3. Page 57, there's no change in 300, no change in code 400, one half of equipment in 500. I'd move 789.7.
What in the world do they want for $150,000?
Mr. Chairman, this is word processing stations, data processing equipment, and that sort of stuff. So we just follow the guidelines and cut that in half.
Do they need 75,000?
I don't know that they need that much, Ms. Carolyn, but...
Okay.
Page 59, career vocational ed. You'll find several places going through this budget where some positions were reduced from the 12 months down to 10 months. These are staff positions that are just needed during the school year, and for this reason were reduced. We find this in this budget. Also, three positions that have not been funded in the past, or the last year or two, that was previously funded with federal dollars in the Code 100. Code 200 is 10%, Code 3, 4, and 700, no changes. I move 2418.3. Page 61, special education. Again, we have in Code 100 two positions reduced from 12 to 10 months, 10% less FY83. On Code 300, we reduced technical assistance program. We did maintain in this one the maintenance of a workshop for the emotionally disturbed. That's a statewide workshop. No change in Code 400. I move 572.3. Federal grants programs, this is where one of those previous line items under the grants was moved into this one intact. This is page 63. This is all federal funding, no changes, 14607.5. Page 65, education program development. We have the 2 month reduction on two positions. Code 200 sees reduction. Develop the program, one time appropriation, and take it out and then try it. They've done that, and this budget requires some additional trying money. This program is based primarily towards school teachers, doesn't go out to see the effectiveness of this system on students particularly, but seeing whether the school teacher is in the different areas are maybe doing their job right or could do it more effectively. Pointed out in the subcommittee meetings that probably the place to reach this would be in the university systems through our own universities, teaching more effective means rather than the department going out and doing it. And they have done it. They have the programs there for anybody that might want to use it. No changes in 400, no changes in 700. I move 1610.4.
Okay.
Commissioner's office. This is a real temptation, seeing as how the commissioner doesn't come aboard until May 9th, but we left it alone. We added on Code 100, there is a position that has been half under CIP and half under the commissioner's office. We moved that position, a secretarial position, into the commissioner's office and increased the funding to carry that was there before. Delete the student interim program there, as we have throughout the budget. Followed the chairman's recommendation on FYD3 travel, less 10%. No other changes on that. I'd move 746.1. The next one, we skip one page there and we're into 69. And CIP overhead and associated costs. It was a feeling of the committee that this shouldn't be a percentage off the capital projects that go through the department. The department felt that these four people, since we moved one directly into the commissioner's office, can handle that program. It wasn't going to take new people to do it, and rather than having the temptation to create some more, I guess we call them spook or ghost positions, that it, felt that rather than take a percentage of programs, we'd move that right into general fund. And with intent language that stated if there was any lapse that's there from FY 83, it would lapse right into the general fund. I'd move 296.9 in addition to general funds.
Okay.
Page 77, planning and research information, no change in 100, recommended cuts in 200. In 300, we deleted the effective schooling, and one thing that I do want to, it's important to bring the committees, we deleted the second half of the foundation study in this code. It was a feeling of the committee that rather than the department has funding for the foundation, funding for foundation funding study, and we'd like that completed this year. We don't want to carry it out to another year. We'd like that report back and before us before January 1. This proposed funding was going to be used probably to set up a computer model on whatever comes out of this study. It was the feeling of the committee that probably that funding could be done after the proposal goes through the legislature and we see just what kind of formula we get out next year. We could address then the funding for models so that we could then any changes, they could give us the answers right away. And so for this reason, deleted that. No changes in code 400. I'd move 885.8.
Senator Fisher, that's Senator Joseph.
I noticed you also, according to the memorandum to you from Marshall Lind of April 14, apparently you also deleted the educational technology assessment.
That's on page 78, Senator.
My mistake.
Mr. Chairman, just so I can be clear, incidentally, the preliminary report just delivered from the Educational Commission of the States indicates that the existing foundation program is basically sound, and I'll provide you a copy of that. But your purpose here is not to prevent the study, but to advance the date when it will be available to us.
No, the department is out for bid at this point in time.
How much do they presently have that for the study? How much was appropriated?
$500,000, I believe, and it's less than that now. Uh-huh. I don't know what.
Yeah, that was appropriated last year. Right. So then they're out to bid now?
Yeah, they're out to bid on that now. We encourage them to come in with an answer for us by January 1, see what bubbles out of that, and weren't too enthused about going forward with another $120,000 into FY 84.
Mr. Chairman, so what you would do is you would see the results in January and then determine if more work needs to be done in the next year.
Right, and then at that time maybe fund a computer model for whatever formula we end up with so that they then could give the legislature answers immediately in printout.
Objection.
I'd move 885.8. I'd like to go back to the CIP. I forgot to move the intent language that was there.
Okay, was there any objection to the intent? Without objection.
All right. Page 97.
79.
Or 79. We deleted the interim positions in 100, standard deduction on the 200. Effective schooling issue is in here. We deleted that portion that was in this budget. Deleted 85,000 from technical assistance. It's kind of broke out in each person's sheet there of what these were. In looking at that, we don't feel that we were hurting any one of these programs. It still leaves like an instructional TV, $600,000 in that arena, and leaves I believe about $588,000 in Department of Communications, Learn Alaska, and we thought these were reasonable cuts, that there was surplus in there that would afford those cuts. I'd move 1771.4.
Okay.
Page 81, correspondence study, I point out to the committee that this, we approved one more position in this. This is because there has been an increase in students, and the department felt that there should be a position increase, and the committee went along with this. On code 200, committee recommendations, no changes in 300 or 400 and half of equipment, 500. I'd move 2211.6. Board of State Board of Education, the standard 10% less of 83 travel, delete inflation in 300. There was no inflation left in 400. There is some intent language that, in looking at it, that a good part of that contractual goes out to using public or hiring halls and in hotels and stuff, and the committee thought that maybe the school board might look at using public buildings a little more often. There wasn't that many dollars involved, really, but I'd move 117.7 and the intent language. Other commissions and associations, page 87, no change in 100. Deleted a one-time grant in 200 that was in, and this has been included down, or the purpose of it has been included down in the grants. No change in 300. The miscellaneous, this is travel for students around the state going to state meets, state level competitions, whether it's a band or basketball, this type of thing. The committee felt that this was a good thing, even though it wasn't in the governor's budget, and put it back in the $400,000. Also added some intent language that this should go out to all schools. Proportionately, they shouldn't leave different areas of the state out of this. And it doesn't pick up 100% of their travel, but it is prorated out to the districts.
Well, you have to, don't you have to win regional events?
Or? Yes, this is on the kind of the statewide competition. And I move 520.4 plus the intent language.
As a basketball player, I support this.
I might mention, I wasn't particularly, but we had a jock on our committee, too.
Yes.
Was very supportive.
I had to work long and hard for these funds.
Page 89, professional practices. What the committee did on this one is delete the general fund funding in this, the 23.5, prorated it out through the different codes so that this would all be from program receipts. I'd move the 98.2. Adult basic education. On this one, what we did is reduce in adult basic education the funding for DOT people traveling between the school districts, up to the school districts, kind of a department training, and didn't touch the actual outward money that goes right out to this basic ed program. I'd move 3454.3. Community schools adjustment, no change in the administration's figure there. I'd move 4025.4. Fire service training, we got looking at this. It didn't. These are small grants that go out to the different fire associations and fire departments for training throughout the state. We added a few dollars to this, moved it from 82.4 up to 90.6. with intent language, just to assure that it does go out to all parts of the state. I'd move 90.6 with the intent language. Vocational adult support, no change. I'd move to 133.7. Other vocational education grants, this is left in place basically to received federal money in the past. It's been basically CETA money and job training money, and the department just wanted to leave this open. No change. I'd move the 100. Grants administration, no change in the 100, the standard reduction in the 200s. General reduction that the department suggested in the 300s, no change in the 400s. I'd move 1064.7. Youth employment, a general reduction of $20,000 in this youth employment service. I'd move the 452.4. Let's see, the next several pages are out. Go to page 113. Seward Center. In looking at this, the committee decided there was two recreational assistants plus some funding for overtime, and it was the feeling of the committee that we could reduce the, or should reduce the one recreational assistant program, and they also had an interim program in this sub-program there. Being consistent with the reductions in all other departments, we also reduced that. No change in, or just the committee chairman's suggestion in the travel, FY83, less 10%. There was no change in the other codes. I'd move 4424.9. Constable Tech Center, committee made no change in that, although we did have a proposed add-on for the committee of the whole.
Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
I'd like to keep this, the IRU open.
Counseling placement?
No, counseling.
Okay.
Right after the...
Reduce it.
Page one...
I have a question. How come it got back?
Oh.
Page-wise.
We decided that it would be good to get our tech centers together instead of scattered out. So that we just move it back there, and on the printout, computer printout, we'll shuffle it around.
Yeah.
Page 117, council and placement. There was two positions, two clerk positions added in the 100, no change in the 200, 300, 400, half of equipment in 500, and no change in 700. I move 3280.4.
Mr. Chairman?
Mm-hmm.
Why are you adding two positions?
There's two counselors that are in existing staffing that doesn't have any clerk support, and they're contracting that clerk support out now, or would have to. They are in one case, and the other is just moving in. And this is out of existing funding. And this, under the personnel regulations, leaves some question. It was acceptable when they first set up shop, but to continue that practice wouldn't be acceptable, so we just added the two clerk positions.
They couldn't find the clerks elsewhere and move them into this?
No.
Thank you.
I'd move 3280.4.
Okay.
Page 1119, no changes. I move 2867.7, independent living rehabilitation.
I have a question on service to clients. Oh, both we have. Okay, no questions.
Independent living.
I have a question on that. Go ahead with living.
Okay, there was no suggestion or no change on this one from the administrations. It's 717.0. I'd move that figure.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to have this held open for further discussion.
Okay, page 121.
Yes, please.
Mr. Chairman, just for
Okay, go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, just for the record, I also have a couple of items. Possible legislative add-ons.
121. Page 123, administration. In this, we, in working with the department, we took some of these reductions were rather than take them out of some of the sub-programs, we took them out of administration at their request, so that there's no change in 100, there's some division-wide reductions in the 200 code here, because in the other sub-codes, they were kind of hands-on type travel, and they didn't want to delete the hands-on, they preferred to take it out of administration, we agreed with them. Also, some division-wide reductions in 300, no change in 400, and the standard, and deleted the office equipment, zeroed that out, and that was at their suggestion, rather than taking some of the recommended percentage cuts in some of the other programs. I'd move 729.4.
Okay.
Specialized facilities, no change in this one by the subcommittee. I'd move 541.8. This is the blind vendors and deaf people program of public buildings.
551.8.
What kind of facilities?
This is for the vendors in public building, the blind people. Up. Page 127, no change, move 44.2. Page 129, this is all federal funding, no change, move 1547.8. Employment of handicap, page 131. We deleted in this under 102 positions, the position of the executive director and the secretary. What this is a PR for the employment handicap, and we did leave in the counselor position there. The intent language pretty well explains out what we're driving at there, that this works with the governor's council, the travel and staff support can be given by the administration for this person, and so I'd move the 52.3.
Mr. Chairman,
mm-hmm.
Bob, this will not reduce services or promotion of the employment of the handicapped.
The committee didn't feel it would. It would leave the council there to do that PR work for the handicapped. And we felt that one person, a counselor-type person, that could still provide that service was adequate for its senator, rather than an executive director and a secretary, that his support could come out of the division budget without any problem, and it would still give the support to the council.
Thank you.
52.3 moved. Page 135, Witchie, no change, 1708.6. Page 137, student incentive grant program, no change, 234.0. 141, of course, is in the capital budget now. Page 145, the student, Alaska Student Loan Program. I wanted to take a few minutes. The department last year in FY83 increased from 24 to 48 people. They had put in for an increase up to 82 people this year. That increase wasn't gone along with by the administration, so that we're looking at an increase of from FY82 to FY83 of 24 people. Most of these people are in the collection part of the student loan program, and while they have done a pretty good job there, the committee felt that maybe that this should be contracted out and looked at. They had made an effort this last year, but they just went out to one national firm to do it that wasn't interested in it. And so what the committee has done here is taken on that part of those 20 positions and moved that down into miscellaneous and the associated costs, left enough there for them to run through September, and then working with budget and audit, the funding will still be in there. They can move that funding back up into their personnel as needed. But to go out and as the tenth language, I think everybody has a copy of it in their packet, be right in the next page. It might take a second to take a look at that, but it would, then they would go out under the regular State Department bidding to see if, in fact, this can't be done more economically rather than doing it in-house. At the same time, we're leaving those funds in-house so they can work through budget audit and get it back and keep those people online if, in fact, it doesn't work out.
Mr. Chairman, can I go back to that? Can you explain to me what 139 and 141 are? I'm a little confused.
139 and
141. I'm a little confused by that and how these figures relate to one as grants to the student loan program.
Come on. I'm not looking.
139 is nomenclature student financial aid.
Page 139?
Yeah. And I'm sorry to do it this way, but.
You don't know how they.
Yeah, and one.
Okay, these are funds that are put in directly. The proposal that the administration is making this year is that we look at all of the loan programs separately, and we'll get to that category. They've got about 10 different categories for loans, including the HLC and all that, and the appropriation on that. And I think that's where the administration is showing them.
Okay, we can get a sheet showing what those are.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, well, that's part of our proposal.
I'd move 2414.1 in the letter of intent. Page 145. Page 147, the standard FY83 plus the less 10% delete inflation in the 300s. Move 54 point. Is that 54 point? I can't read it. 54.9. Page 149, general administration, no change in the 100, standard deduction in the 200s, delete inflation in 3 and 4, 1/2 equipment, no change in 700, move 1005.9. Page 153, I want to point out in the 300, the committee added $125,000 into this above the administration's suggestion. What this is the Alaska Historical Commission has just completed the final draft versions of probably the first comprehensive history on the state of Alaska. It's in the draft stage. It's ready to go to printers. It would take this, they estimate it would take $125,000 to get it printed up. So it would then be available, these books would then be available to be sold to the schools and libraries throughout the state, and they should get hopefully program receipts back in down the trail from this, and that's what that funding does, because it's ready to go to printers, and the subcommittee felt that it should be printed and made available to the public. I'd move 688.3. Administrative, page 157, Alaska Council on the Arts. In Code 100, the committee looked at this pretty heavily. It was felt by the committee that, first off, the other areas that are administrative grants around the state, whether it's the grants in VOCAD or administration, it basically takes a couple, three positions. And looking at the positions that the committee elected to maintain, the executive director, a fine arts administrator, an accountant technician. We understand in testimony that they do have, and finally have, some good accountability going, and we didn't want to disturb that, and a secretary. And this is basically staffed to the arts council, and the committee didn't feel that they should maintain advocacy positions within this administration and support for the different art groups out there, that what it should be is a group that administers and disperses the grants that are appropriated by the legislature, that they should do it in a broad statewide basis. There's some intent language there. The subcommittee didn't touch the the actual grant dollars that go out to hands-on to the different councils and programs around the state, I'd move 5138.8 in the intent language.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Fisher.
Mr. Chairman, the State Affairs Committee conducted oversight hearing on the State Council of the Arts during the interim, and we were, sort of our conclusion was quite critical of the operations and the conflicts that had arisen between the State Council and the local grantees. At that time, we were going to move ahead and make some recommendations. We held off because the governor restructured the whole council and so on. I am a little concerned about moving quite as drastically as this to cut back on the grants administration, and there's a lot of technical assistance involved in the preparation of applications and getting the word out and so on. And I'm not sure that the, and I have a copy of the memo addressed to you from the chairman of the State Council, that the executive director or the accounting technician could adequately serve the grantees. And I'm really most concerned with the effectiveness of the grants program. I'll stop right here.
Yeah, it was.
No, I just want to say that the Department of Administration has a grant program of tens of millions of dollars, and they do it with three people, and with $4 million in grants, it was felt that three people would be adequate to do this.
I think it would be a case of that personnel there shifting their emphasis from what they're doing now to grants. Now they've had a heavy involvement in the different art programs, and we all know some of the history of that that's gone on. And it was the feeling of the committee that, or the subcommittee, that we, if the executive director shifts their attention basically to grant programs, that's what they should be doing there. If the fine arts administrator shifts their attention to grant programs and analyzing out grant programs, retain an accountant there for accountability of those programs as they do go out, and then a secretary, that they should be able to administer the $4.6 million in grants without any. You're talking about roughly, I think the letter stated, about 500 grant requests that come in each year that they have to analyze. It's not all that many. We have a breakout, if the committee would like it, on where those grants went this last year. There's a number of smaller grants, but a good percentage of that is isolated into one or two pretty large grants too that I forget just now, but I think there's one around the point $2 million that went into one program, so that eliminates half the money right there if the council continues to support, you know, that heavy one. So
Mr. Chairman, mm-hmm. I'd be very interested in seeing the breakout, and I was also concerned with, before we leave that, I think that there's a difference between grant administration and grants administration, because sometimes it's the same thing very routinely, like college loans, it's a routine process where you have, in one place, a small village applies for something, on the other hand, it's a rep. It's a totally different kind of animal, a totally different creature that we're dealing with. I would like to look at those, that list. The other thing, Mr. Chairman, I was also concerned somewhat about the action on the arts and education program, which serves primarily small communities and schools. And the statewide performing arts touring program, I live in Anchorage, and I get all the stuff at home, feeling is that that should be cut out. I won't get involved in that, but I think the arts and education is a really important program.
It wasn't the feeling of the committee, and in fact, we didn't touch one nickel of that funding. We left the grants funding exactly the way it was, so that funding is there to do the job. I guess what the subcommittee was saying, that four people can administer this program, and that's what we did. We reduced positions there, not the grants that go out to accommodate the things you were talking about, Senator. The grant money is the same, and that's where that funding comes from.
Excuse me, I don't understand. According to the response to the Finance Subcommittee action, $213,100 was eliminated from contractual line.
Oh, okay.
I'm on page 2 in the middle of the long paragraph. And this dollar amount is a figure projected for management contracts for an arts and education program and the statewide performing arts touring program. And then it goes on to say that in the following paragraph, the arts and education program is funded primarily with federal funds. So those federal funds will not be forthcoming should the management of the program be so significantly altered. That's what I'm concerned about.
The committee felt that these things, we did make some reductions there. Whether they, besides having this large staff of 9 people, or 10 people there, or asking for 10 people, moving a temporary up, they were, in addition to that large staff in handling grants, were going out and contracting with some of the contracting. So what we, in effect, did is cut the codes back 100 through 500 for them to be administrators of a grant program. They would work with the council in administering these grants, and not through contract going out for other advice or projects, and then that any of the that type of thing would come out of grants. They look at the grants and administer those grants at the direction of the council that the governor appoints.
Well, Mr. Chairman, but now they have been managing the arts and education program under contract. You would cut that out also and tell them to manage that directly. And what if it turns out that those 4 people, especially one of whom is designated for this specific purpose, so essentially you have 3 people, their management of the program would not meet the federal requirements for program management, and we're liable to lose it. Mr. Chairman, it seems to me that possibly if we could move some of these funds into miscellaneous category akin to what you were doing on another page, where we could follow the committee intent but provide some kind of a pressure release valve. I'm really concerned with the fact that a new council has been appointed, the governor told them to look at programs, at staffing, at management, and so on, and report back on the recommendations as to what the program should be and how it should be managed. And so a priori, we're moving in and making some drastic changes. I'm not objecting to the total amount necessarily of the funding for the state council. I'm really concerned about the our ability to manage arts programs effectively.
I guess this is the recommendation, and I think a pretty unanimous recommendation of the subcommittee to the committee of the whole, and I'd be willing to go up and down on it with the committee of the whole.
Well, Mr. Chair, are you not suggesting, are you, that the way to solve the problem is to give the council discretion as to whether to use the money for management or grants? Because you said that you weren't concerned with the total sum, but wanted to make sure they had enough money for administration.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'm simply concerned about is whether we'll see the art programs fall in their face at the local level because of the inability of the council staff to effectively handle the programs, arts and education. It involves a tremendous amount of little stuff all over. One reason they had a contract for it was so that they didn't have to handle it in-house. What I'm wondering is whether we couldn't provide for sort of a miscellaneous line as you did, I forget which category it was.
Well, this was to address a different problem. And the other category, we're moving just staff people, 20 staff people, Senator, out of the Code 100, but wanted to leave that available in case they couldn't contract it out, in case it wasn't possible to contract it out at a lesser cost than the state's doing it with people over there. So it was kind of a different concept that was used there.
Mr. Chairman.
Let me ask Senator Mulcahy a question. Under contractual, they have $190,500. Is any portion of that, or what is the breakdown of $190,000?
I'd have to ask Mary just what the breakdown is. I don't have it in front of me.
Okay, I'm just wondering if there are any funds there that are still kept in for whatever program Vic's talking about. Because $200,000 is a lot if we just have a couple of people left, four people.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Joe,
while that answer's coming forward, I have mixed feelings about this. First, because last evening over Mrs. Mulcahy's pie, I was very amenable to anything that the chairman wanted to do. the second thing is that the council, as Senator Fisher said, did such a dubious job with a lot of money in the administration last year. Maybe we'll do better with a leaner program. And thirdly, because I think that some of the functions could be done by some greater use of volunteers in some of the communities. But I share Senator Fisher's concern about one aspect, which is that I suspect that many of the potential grantees are not able to complete applications for themselves, may not even know about the program, and that there is a kind of search and development here, especially in the small rural programs and native arts programs, that doesn't apply in many of our other grant programs, because we may have people who are extremely creative in terms of visual art or performing art who do not, even from a language point of view, know how to interact with this program. And that's my concern, that if they're just laying back in a central office waiting for artists to come to them, we're going to miss out on a lot of programs that deserve support. Which the effect of that will probably be that programs that emanate from the urban areas, like the one I represent, will get a greater share of the grant's money, but it'll be unfairly detrimental to native artists.
And Mr. Chairman,
back to my question, what's TNAP? TNAP. No backup in this at all. Explain that. Does anybody from DOE know? TNAP, Art Bank, percentage for art 9,000, TNAP 60.4. So that's still in there. The 60.4 and the 9,000 are still in there.
Is that the replacement of the frames and the stretching and the production of the
There is in the backup, Mr. Chairman, that you got in front of you, there's $278,700 in this particular area, and what the committee has done is reduced that by $213,000, so it's still going to leave in there $65,000 to accomplish this. It's substantially less, but they still do have contract funding in there.
Another thing that they can do is they have printing and publications for $47,000. You don't need printing monies of that magnitude. They can reduce that and increase that. We're not prohibiting them from doing that. Then the art bank percentage for art, 9,000, 60.4 for TNAP, governor's awards, of course, that would probably be. Then you still have art bank framing and repair for 8,900, plus all the equipment rental and office equipment and office rental.
Mr. Chairman,
mm-hmm.
The State Council on the Arts is meeting later this month. If they have a critical problem with the way the allocations are made within this BRU, I assume that they could come to, let's say, a free conference committee through the governor and make recommendations.
For transfers, right. They can do that.
All right, based on that, I'll just...
Okay. Yeah. And I might add, I understand that the other body hasn't looked at this group as critically as this committee did as far as administration of grants, so that, yes, Senator, still, that option is still there if they can be convincing. I'd move the 5138.8 with the letter of intent. Page 161, library operations. In the code 100, we deleted one position. This position hasn't been staffed for several years, we're told. Normal reductions in the 200s, a general reduction in code 300, a generally recommended reduction, no change in the rest of them. I'll move 4295.2. Page 163, museum operations, no change, standard reduction in travel, no change in three and code 3 and 400. The standard standard reduction in code 500, no change in 700, move 942.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to keep this open for possible legislative amendment.
In operations?
Or capital?
Museum operations.
Yeah, in operations, okay. Because I'm looking at contract as well.
Oh, okay.
Page 165, blue book, no change, move 15.1. And that should do it, Mr. Chairman.
Job well done. Okay, we have four add-ons. We have Gene Dusek here. Let's get that over with.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We just have a bit of information, no request, on one item, page 35, the debt retirement. Based on the latest projections from the Department of Education, full funding in FY84 for the debt retirement reimbursement is about $90.5 million.
Thank you.
$90.5. So the 59.8, which the administration and the legislature is recommending, will fund about 66% of the entitlement. So for new debt, which instead of 90%, will be about 60%. Thank you.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if this is the time to raise it, but I find that the Anchorage schools are getting caught in a whiplash here, where on the one hand, though, we shouldn't. I'm serious, Mr. Chairman. That we shouldn't put schools into direct grants, direct capital grants, because the Anchorage schools will get reimbursed anyway. Now we're moving down to 60% reimbursement, which is sort of going backward rather than forward from where we had been a few years ago. And I'm just really concerned about this trend, we acknowledge education is a principal function of government, if not the most important function, and then we're constantly cutting back for the incorporated school districts. That's all I have to say at this point, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Next page. Oh, that's all you had on